Breadbox Media programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello and welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirito along with Mary Lou Nemacek, and we are in our second show kind of explaining to you a little bit about the Encounter Ministry School of Healing that came to Lexington, Kentucky last weekend. And it was such a powerful experience, we thought we would share it with you all as well and kind of unpack a little bit more about the difference it made for us in our area. We were speaking a little bit about last show about Brian O'Donnell's talk on the first evening of the School of Healing. And he spoke about the gospel of power and the prayer for empowerment. And then he shared with us a little bit about what a prayer of empowerment can look like. And what I thought that was really cool, because he, at the time that he received this prayer, that he received, a laying on of hands, and he received a stirring up of an activation of the graces of baptism and confirmation, he was actually a Franciscan monk, a Franciscan brother. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
And he has since discerned out of the convent, but he is living this amazing life as a street evangelist and minister in Columbus, working, supporting himself, but having a huge impact on the streets of Columbus, of one of the, big city in the United States. So that was kind of cool. It was also interesting to speak. He kind of gave us the basics. What do your notes say, Mary Lou? He gave us the basics of what a gospel of power is. It's not just a gospel of proclamation. It's a gospel of power.
Right. And he mentioned that there's no lack of supply, from God. It's just demand. It's us answering that. He kept in reminding us that it's about God and God will show up. It's not about us. And we have to, it's that fear. And that's what always speaks to me when they start talking about this. And that the power comes from an encounter and encounter with the person of Jesus. And we always have to keep that in mind. We're always talking about that, because without that, we're not going to get anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that. I've seen too many people that are ready for all the gifts and have them and don't use them. And I think this was a great class to remind us about that and to give us that courage once again to be different, to be countercultural, to act silly sometimes in our faith, to believe that God is going to use us for something as powerful as healing, which right. is what we see throughout the scriptures. What's the New Testament? It's Jesus and all the miracles. And he went through so many of them. And it just, it just fortified my faith that we are all equipped to do this. And that to me is such a happy message, because it's not just for you, Lavinia, or a couple other people. This is available for all of us.
Did you, what did you get out of? Remember, didn't he have us turn to one another during that time? What did he do? Remember?
He asked us to turn to one another and just close our eyes and ask if God had a message for that person. We laid hands on each other and I was telling you, the person next to me was prayed over and tears were running down her face. I mean, there were people that were really feeling that infilling of the Holy Spirit and that release, or however you want to describe it. I was telling her that what I received was that God was really going to use her this weekend and to be open to it. And she was one of the participants that was healed, that was praying over people. I mean, she just was full of fire. Let me put it that way. And it was very encouraging.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Do you think that God can use us for one another? That we can
Absolutely.
Hear God about one another and actually be accurate?
Yes. Yes. Right. And, you know, sometimes, you know, this isn't 100% thing. It's, you know, sometimes you're going to receive something and sometimes you're not.
Right.
And that's okay, too. I know the person behind me, the fellow who was praying with her, he didn't get anything. He felt so inadequate. And she said, that's okay. You know, other things will come, and you cannot be discouraged at all. And I know that we have a tendency to do that. You know, and he also said to remember your dream that evening. And I ran into the person that was next to me that I just described, and she came up to me and she says, oh, I didn't dream anything. And I looked at her and I said, that's okay. I said, I didn't either. It's okay. You know, it's, you know, the suggestion is made and some will have it and some won't, but that doesn't mean that God's not going to work through you. You're just not going to get it that night. So you can't be discouraged. You just can't.
Well, the idea, I guess the point is we need to be open. So
absolutely. And it's in God's timing.
And we won't experience these things if we're not open to them. And sometimes we'll get something and sometimes we won't, but if we're not open to it, we will never get something.
That's exactly right. And you know, it's really a good lesson in patience and perseverance, because, you know, if we believe that in this, then we're going to, you know, be happy with the times that God is giving us something and still encouraged to go out. Just like Patrick said, you know, at the healing service, some will be healed right away. Some it may take some time and some may not. Mm-hmm. But we shouldn't be discouraged to lay hands on and pray for healing for people,
well,
to keep asking for more.
Well, and, you know, sometimes, you know, oftentimes maybe we're not healed, but we may not be physically healed, but we're always ministered to spiritually. There's always
God never disappoints.
There's always something. I mean, you know, there's so maybe there may not be the dramatic healing, but there's always something. God is always there. And he always gives us what we need and maybe sometimes not what we want, you know, which should not be a surprise to any of us, right?
So that I can attest to that.
The first evening, anyway, so it was great. And then he had people come up and kind of share, you know, kinds of things that they had received. And it was very powerful. It was a really good beginning. And of course, the music ministry made it all even better. On the next day, we had a full day in the parish hall, and we had a number of talks. The first talk was about the theology of healing, which I think a lot of Catholics really need to hear. I think a lot of Christians in general need to hear that that we can. You know, what we were saying at the beginning of the last show, which was we have been commissioned to do that. And so basically, whether we do it or not isn't so much if there's the power to do it, it's whether we are willing to take on that particular mission to do it. You know, a lot of us think that only like really, 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 really holy people, unworldly people are the people that God is going to use to heal. And that's just not true. God uses those who are willing, those who get over themselves, you know. So, and he quoted several passages, which I thought was kind of interesting. He spoke about, I think he went deeply into Matthew and into Mark, the various passages about the Lord speaking and then healing, and speaking and then delivering somebody, and then speaking and cleansing the leper. What did you get?
Well, that was one of the notes that I took down when he started out on this, about it not being just for the holy, and that the sacraments are enough, and that misunderstanding Jesus, and he was talking about misunderstanding Jesus through the scripture. So as you pointed out, as he went through the different scriptures, especially in Mark, it became so clear about the message of healing that Christ offered to everyone and made available. And it was, as I told you, I thought it was done in such an organized manner that it was like boom, 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 boom. And they were miracles that we know about. But yet it was, he talked about them in such a way that they became real and pertinent to today. And I think that makes a huge difference, because what happened in Acts, what happened in, with all the miracles, is present today. And this is stirring up the Holy Spirit and letting God work through us. And this is what we're called to do.
Absolutely. So again, I mean, I would say that one of the takeaways from the weekend was, yes, God is able. God is able even to use us. You know, God can use little old me. And everybody in the end thinks about themselves as little old me's, you know. I mean, I don't think there's anybody who says, oh, yes, of course, God, you know. I think most of us really think, you know, seriously, is this going to happen? But that's where you step up and you have the active expectant faith that God actually will act. And in the end, it's humility, because it's like, it's about him. It's not about us.
That's right. Isn't that good? Because it's not about us. That's the saving grace of it all.
Yeah, because if it were all about us, we would be in deep trouble, as always. Yes. So the theology of healing was just basically laying the foundations for all of us, to, you know, an understandable way to see that, in fact, you know, it's going to be okay. that not only are the institutional elements of the church necessary, so the hierarchical sacramental elements are necessary, but the charismatic elements are necessary as well, the pneumatic elements, the spiritual elements, the power elements are co-essential. And that is a quotation taken, of course, straight out of John Paul II, and as then re-quoted in other magisterial documents. So I think that's important, you know. And remember also that power comes from the encounter. It doesn't come from us. It comes from Pentecost in the encounter. Patrick shared with me that he titled his ministry Encounter Ministries because he quoted, remember Benedict XVI's quote?
Yes.
Being a Christian is not an encounter with a set of creeds, but rather it is an encounter with a person, the person of Jesus, you know, so that's.
And there's something else I wrote down, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so appropriate, because we have a tendency in the world today to rely on, you know, the wisdom of the world and not the power of God, which is available and should be used.
Yeah, he gives that day in the life of Jesus in Matthew 9, which I thought was interesting, where he kind of does it all. He delivers, he raises from the dead, he heals, he, you know, he does it all in one day.
Right. All in one day.
And it's so cool because, you know, you look at it that way and you're so used to seeing the gospel, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, of course you did it that way. But the way he boiled it down to, which is what I've been using also, I've kind of stolen this little the way he boils it down is proclamation plus demonstration equals salvation or faith in Jesus. The basic message of salvation needs to be proclaimed, and that's true. But then you need to show that it's true. You know, you need to have a sign that points to it. Okay. And then I like this. It's funny because just in Mark, we talked about this, the foundation of compassion. A couple of times it says Jesus had compassion, especially when he multiplied the loaves. And what we translate it as compassion, but really the Greek verb is splagnitzomai, which means to be gut-wrenched. Jesus experienced gut-wrenching compassion. He wasn't just kind of like flitting around, in a superficial way. He is gut-wrenchingly compassionate towards all of us. And so that, I guess the lesson for us is our healing should proceed out of our similar participation in the compassion of Jesus.
Amen.
That's really, really important. At John 14:12, I truly, truly, I said to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Now, I wonder if anybody's ever really remarked on that, you know? I mean, what do we think that means when we, does that just, we think, you know, again, as Catholics, I probably know what it thinks, they think, right? That basically it's... that's for Padre Pio, but that's not for me, you know. He can do greater things. The Curé of Ars can do great things, you know, but not me. But it says these signs will accompany those who believe at the end of Mark, right? That they will heal the sick, they will drink the poison, and all that kind of stuff. So healing is a sign of the kingdom. And remember that we have the old model, probably emerging from the Council of Trent, about persuasion evangelization. And there is a place for that, you know, in a Christian culture. Persuasion, mm-hmm. You persuade somebody into the kingdom. But nowadays, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking power evangelization is what needs to happen. People need to see it. Just like at the first century AD, they had to see it. They had to touch it. They had to be healed. They had to be delivered. They had to be cleansed. So now, right?
Right. And that reiterates what you said earlier, you know, the power of the testimony, where Mark, he says, go home to your family and announce to them all that the Lord and his pity has done for you. I mean, just like with these being around Patrick and all of them, they gave such a beautiful testimony to all of us that how can we not go out and spread the word, you know? It touches you, it changes you, and you feel empowered to go out and share it. Why wouldn't you? It's something so good, so holy, so healing, so godly. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
They addressed also redemptive suffering, which is another thing Mary Healy touches on as well. You know, as Catholics, we believe, and we have that beautiful theology about how if we are given suffering, if we are allowed to suffer, that somehow we need to suck it up and suffer, you know, because of somebody else, right? That we're going to use right. suffering. And it's true. Suffering is used. Suffering willingly offered up is used. But that doesn't mean, like the example I thought was good was like, a lot of Catholics use that as an excuse not to pray for healing, but they still go to the doctor.
Right.
Right? So if you really believed that God wants you to have the suffering so you can use it, then why would you go to the doctor? Right? So really, there's kind of an inconsistency there. I think God means for everybody to be whole. I think he means for everybody to be healthy. And in some situations, there are, you know, certain situations in which people are not healed or et cetera. But that then you have an opportunity to use that suffering. But that doesn't mean that God, that we should stop to pray, not pray for healing. Okay?
That's right.
And the thorn in Paul's side was an interesting, he said, what about the thorn in Paul's side? I prayed three times. What happened? Well, you know, again, having just taught that, the thorn in Paul's side is most likely the opposition and the persecution that he experienced, not so much a physical ailment. People go to town about thinking about the eye injury or the he couldn't see very well, or maybe he had something
else. He had something in his side.
You know, maybe, who knows what it was, yeah. But there is even money, basically, on the fact that that could have also been the persecution, and of course, all the hardships that he experienced as an apostle. So that makes sense as well, right? Right. And then we spoke, and then we, you know, we went on to the role of faith and the basic prayer model, the basic role of faith in healing ministry. Well, there's two kinds of faith. Well, there's three kinds of faith, right? There's the object of the faith, you know, the faith, like the grade school faith. Yes, I believe I'm going to make my first communion. I love Jesus, etc. Then there's like the creed faith, which is like, yes, I, you know, I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and blah, 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 which is maybe a more mature faith. I believe God can do this stuff. But then there is expectant faith. Yes, I believe this will happen. There's two levels of faith as well. There's the faith of the person praying, and then there's the faith of the person receiving. Now, we know that the person receiving sometimes doesn't have to have any faith at all, right? But more likely than not, that if you come to somebody to receive prayer, there are four levels of faith for healing. So that the person, you know, and he uses it straight out of the scripture, right? He says, if you can, the father of the demonized son, we're doing it in Mark right now, he says, you know, well, okay, Jesus, if you think you can do something, please go do it, you know? And Jesus says, if I can do anything, everything is possible for him who believes. So it's a very weak faith, but it's still faith. And God will use it, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's, if you are willing, it's like, I believe you can do it, but do you want to do it? The man with leprosy. And Jesus responds, I am willing, be cleansed, right? And then the next level is, if I could just reach the tassels of his clothes, then I will be able to be healed.
Yeah, right? The woman with the hemorrhaging.
Right. And then finally, there's incredible faith, to me anyway, which is the Roman centurion. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter into my house, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. Right?
Right.
And that is the faith that Jesus finds as miraculous, really. You know? I mean, pretty amazing. So there's understanding instant miraculous healing and partial progressive healing. There's many levels of it. I want to use an image that really has helped me as we close out this podcast. Expectation. So we expect in faith of the person and of the person who's praying. So desperation, the person who's praying knows that it's not about them. The person who wants to be healed is desperate to be healed, right? So it translates into a desperation for God, because only God can act. So that's desperation, right? Plus expectation that God will act equals invitation for God to act. So that's something that we can meditate and think about and maybe bring to prayer in this week. Desperation plus expectation equals invitation. Thank you for joining us.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com.